Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures. For more than 50 years, the museum has told stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character. Details at texancultures.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Super Tuesday is on March 3rd. Early voting begins February 18th and lasts until the 28th. On the primary ballots, there is going to be a plethora of candidates and choices. Democrats in Bexar County Precinct 2 will be picking their county commissioner. The choice is between Justin Rodriguez and Getha Rodriguez. With no Republican filing, the primary winner will be unopposed in the general election and will have the office. We have both candidates in the studio today for a candidate forum, and you can ask them your question. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org. The questions do have to be policy or issue focused. They have to be open-ended so both candidates can answer the question. Also, please don't make a speech. Just get to the question. We do have candidate open remarks coming up, 2 minutes each, and then we alternate who goes first for the questions and then with a minute for those answers and then a 1 minute closing remark. We do have a rule that if a candidate tries to characterize their other opponent and their position, I will have to cut them off and give that opponent a chance to respond, and then we move on. And we did flip a coin to determine who will go first with the opening remarks, and that will be Justin Rodriguez. And Justin Rodriguez, go right ahead. You have 2 minutes.
Great. Thank you, David, and thanks to my opponent as well for being here. I think this is a great service to the community to have a discussion about what's important in our community, particularly with this election coming up. So I'm Justin Rodriguez. I'm the current county commissioner for Precinct 2. Have served in that capacity now for about 13 months. I was appointed, for your listeners that don't remember, I was appointed January of 2019 when longtime Commissioner Paul Elizondo passed away. I was preparing to serve what would have been my fourth term in the legislature at that time, and I got the call to come back home and fill some very big shoes. So have served in, like I said, the last 12 months in this capacity, but I have a record of service in not just in Precinct 2, but in the west northwest part of Bexar County. Served for 6 years in the Texas legislature, House District 125. Prior to that was the city councilman in District 7 for 4 years, from 2007 to 2011, and started my service in elected office as a school board member in San Antonio ISD back in 2004. But born and bred on the west side of San Antonio near St. Mary's University, still live there, right next door to my mom. We were raising our family there. I'm a lawyer by background. And really, even before getting elected to office, I was really involved in, community organization and activism. I was president of the Jefferson Neighborhood Association, which is, again, still nearby where I live. But really have am honored to serve the constituents of Precinct 2. Looking forward to another year or hopefully more in office. And we've spent quite a bit of time on helping transform county government, making it more responsive, more accessible, and transparent for our community. And we'd love to continue that work.
All right. And now we hear from Getha Rodriguez.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you, David and TPR, for having us on. And thank you to all the listeners that are listening in for being engaged in our county and our government and wanting to make an informed decision. I am Getha Rodriguez. I'm running for county commissioner here in Precinct 2. I'm born and raised here in San Antonio and in the precinct. I grew up in, actually was born in 78207, which is the poorest zip code in all of Bexar County. I graduated from Sidney Lanier High School, and then after that, I went on to serve in the United States Marine Corps. I enlisted as a private, and after 10 years of service, was selected for a commissioning program and became an officer, and then spent another 10 years, and then eventually retiring after 20 years of service as a captain in the Marines. Service is very central to who I am as a person. Following my retirement from the military, I went on to serve for 5 years leading a department at Bexar County providing services to our nation, our county's veterans and to their families. We actually took an office and made it into one that became state recognized. And in that capacity, I also was established relationships with our local, state, and congressional offices. So I'm very familiar with county government, as well as, you know, being able to establish those relationships that work to serve the people of our community. You know, growing up in 78207 had a very profound impact on my life and really shaped to become who I am, or helped me to become who I am today. Upon my return, I saw many areas of Bexar County that remain neglected, and it's one of the reasons that I'm running. The other is that I fundamentally believe in democracy, and that I believe that people should have a voice and a choice in who gets to represent them, and they did not have that in this appointment.
All right. Thank you. Was Getha Rodriguez in her opening comments as she is a candidate for County Commissioner Precinct 2. And we heard earlier from Justin Rodriguez. And now we move to the question part of our program. And the candidates will go back and forth. We'll alternate who goes first. We're going to start with Getha Rodriguez. And we do have a voicemail, and you will have 2 minutes to respond. And to the voicemail.
Good morning. My name is Gabriel. I have a question for the two candidates for County Commissioner Precinct 2. Where do you stand on forced annexation?
All right, Getha Rodriguez, let's go with 2 minutes on forced annexation, how the city has worked in the past.
All right, well, first off, you know, the people, I fundamentally believe in community voice. Now, I mentioned that just a little while ago and about people having input into what happens to them. When it comes to annexation, I believe that it should only be as a last resort and only with community input. What we have seen a lot in government and at multiple levels, quite frankly, from school districts to the city, to the county and state legislature, oftentimes decisions are made without community input. While we do have a representative government, that doesn't mean that government has the right to make decisions without consulting with the people that are affected. So when it comes to annexation, people that live in the areas that are being annexed, of course we understand that sometimes it is necessary when you're talking about services that need to provide it to that particular area, but it should never be done unilaterally by government. It should always be with the input of the community that is being affected, and only as a last resort.
And now Justin Rodriguez, forced annexation or just annexation?
Yeah, so I think there was an interesting discussion on this in my last session in Austin. I think it was a 2017 session. First and foremost, I do believe that public input's imperative. It should be at the top of the list in terms of priorities when it comes to annexation. We've seen over the years in San Antonio, as the city has tried to manage growth, forced annexation, and I think now we're dealing with the repercussions from that, right? Lack of planning, mobility, transportation issues. What we need to keep in mind, particularly in this race, is as our community grows, most of that growth is going to be outside the city limits. It's going to be in the county's unincorporated areas, which means from the Bexar County's perspective, we're going to have to put more resources into infrastructure projects and providing some basic services. But I do believe that bill's now law, and now under that law, if, for example, the city wanted to annex, let's take Alamo Ranch as an example, that community would have a voice in whether or not they wanted to be annexed. And there's some pluses and minuses to that, right? Many of those folks moved out there to avoid some of the city taxes. Now, are they getting the services they need? So I think, you know, we'll see if that's the right thing to do. I think certainly it's the right thing to do to get community input. They'll have a vote on that, whether it's that area or another. And I think it's important that we have that discussion to make sure that there is some community input on annexation.
All right, we're having a candidate forum with the two candidates running for Precinct 2, Bexar County Commissioner's Court. We're joined by Justin Rodriguez and Getha Rodriguez. Our phone lines are open. You can ask them policy-issued questions about Bexar County, about San Antonio. They represent both because much of the county, much of their district occupies both, but it's not exclusive to either. You can call in. The number is 210-614-8980. And let me, and a question now for Justin Rodriguez. What should the Bexar County Commissioner's Court be doing for veteran support?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, first of all, I think we're doing quite a bit. We've increased, so for those that don't know, we have a veteran services office that has increased services to veterans over the past couple of years. I think the last count had about 6,000 veterans who either called or came through the office for anything from benefit services to housing and transition, employment services, and we need to continue to grow that that department, in my opinion. I think the budget for that department this past fiscal year was about $1.2 million, about 25% higher than it had been previously. And with those dollars, we're able to service more veterans. And I think one thing in particular that I've been working on is mental health for our veterans, not just our veterans, but certainly they touch a large swath of the folks that we want to service. We're having actually an announcement tomorrow on an additional $7 million of funding that I helped identify from the University Health System specifically to help supplement mental health services. And so we need to make sure veterans not only have access to dollars for veterans, for benefits, but also for services that sometimes come later in life, right? I mean, they don't understand until later in life that maybe they have an issue, whether it's PTSD. So those dollars are going to help with what we refer to as continuity of care. Getting services not just through mental health, but the VA and also our Veteran Services Office there at Bexar County.
All right. And Gethta Rodriguez, what should the Bexar County Commissioners Court be doing to help support veterans?
Well, you know, I mentioned that I led that office for 5 years, and I also served in the United States Marine Corps for 20. And so this is very near and dear to my heart. One of our sayings in the Marine Corps is that you're only as strong as your weakest link. One of the issues that I have right now with the current office is that it has actually reduced services to the people that need them the most. What has happened is, although the budget has tripled from $350,000 to $1.2 million, the services that are being provided that have increased are actually to the people who have the most support, and those are our post-9/11 veterans. Now, of course, they need services, and you know, I actually work for a national nonprofit that provides services to them. Our most vulnerable veterans, our Korea, our Vietnam, our World War II, surviving spouses, those are the veterans that were not just put to the side when they came back and not provided services. Now they're being left behind again by the county. They are not the services, the outreach, being out there, educating that population and getting them access to the services that they need has actually been reduced. And so, as your next county commissioner, that is one of my main priorities. You know, you need to have you have to have someone in office who actually understands what the needs of the community are. You cannot make decisions that are not based on fact and where the biggest needs are. So I plan to restore those services to those veterans.
All right, let's go to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. You can ask a question for the two Democratic candidates for Bexar County Commissioner 2. And let's go with Diane. This question will be fielded first by Gethta Rodriguez. And Diane, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. My question is, what is your position on pre-K funding, fully funding pre-K? And I'm speaking...
All right, Diane, thank you for that. And Gethta Rodriguez, you can talk about pre-K. There's a lot there, so yeah. Go for it.
There sure is. Access to early education has been shown that actually improves outcomes in the long run. I'm a firm believer in universal pre-K. If we have to fund it, I see that as an investment in our education, in our workforce, and in the opportunities for our young adults. I understand that there are some concerns with the funding and where it's coming from. Obviously, it's coming from our taxpayer dollars, but I really do see this as an investment in the long run. You cannot expect to have positive educational outcomes, and especially in areas where I come from. I mentioned that earlier. I come from one of the most underserved communities, where educational attainment is the lowest in the entire city and in the county, and where people just have some significant challenges. I think that we need to invest in education, but along with that, I also believe that we need to partner more with our school districts. I'm a huge proponent of a community schools model where we're actually focusing intensely on our younger students and then following them through, providing services to the families that need them the most. Again, we have such a large divide. We're economically segregated, and a lot of that is attributed to our low educational attainment. So I really believe that we need to focus our efforts there.
All right. And Justin Rodriguez, what about pre-K support, fully funding pre-K in San Antonio, Bexar County?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. And I'm a full believer in order to change generational poverty, we have to invest on the front end. And that starts with pre-K education. I mentioned at the outset, I was on the school board at SAISD. And one of the things that I think I'm most proud of during that time is in the early 2000s, when really, you know, no one was talking about pre-K for SA. There were folks, lawmakers in Austin and in D.C. who didn't believe in the value of pre-K. We actually moved the needle, I believe, in investing in 3 and 4 year olds. We set up pre-K centers at the elementary schools. When the state was giving us money for just half a day for pre-K, we picked up the other half a day at SAISD. I would say I have a track record in making sure that opportunity is there for our young people. And we know it doesn't take a genius to decipher data. And when you look at data, and it shows that investment on the front end means at the back end, in terms of workforce training and development, you're going to have to spend less. I think that the state has made some inroads over the last couple sessions on investing in universal pre-K. Certainly not enough. I was on the tail end of my council tenure when we pushed the pre-K for SA initiative here locally. And again, the thing I'm most proud of is I think now people are believers in the value of that investment. And we're no longer arguing, in other words, over whether we should do it. I think it's just about how we do it. And I think pre-K for SA, and certainly what we did at SAISD, was a good model and something that I'm proud of.
And now our phone lines are open. If you have a question for our candidates, they are running for Bexar County Commissioner 2. They are the Democratic candidates, and there is no Republican running in the general election. So the winner of this race on Super Tuesday will become the office holder. We do have the current office holder, Justin Rodriguez. He was appointed to step in after we lost Paul Elizondo. Getha Rodriguez is with us. She is a candidate for Bexar County Commissioner's Court Precinct 2. The phone line is 210-614-8980. Our next question, Justin Rodriguez, you go first on this one. We're seeing right now a lot of concern, a lot of awareness about our public health system. We know now we have a coronavirus here in the area because of the evacuation and here, but it's not circulating in the open community. We don't have a public health scare, and we need to talk about this without being alarmist. But it certainly does bring into focus the benefits of having a well-funded, a very good public health system. And Bexar County works with the San Antonio for Metropolitan Health. So can you talk a little bit about the needs for having and support that we have for Metro Health and, sure, and where you are on that?
No, absolutely. And for the listeners, let me just back up a minute and say, you know, the UHS, University Health System, historically had been known as the Bexar County Hospital District. That is a district that is accountable to taxpayers. You'll notice on your tax bill, there is a certain percentage that goes to the Bexar County Hospital District. And that's important to note in three ways that it falls under the county's umbrella. Number one, we appoint their board. Secondly, we approve or set their tax rate. And thirdly, we approve their budget. And the UHS budget is actually larger than the county's budget. We're at about 1.2. They're a little higher than that, 1.2 billion, that is, in the fiscal year. So what we've done, and George Hernandez and the folks at UHS, it's a tremendous resource to our community. And over the past year that I've been there, what I've seen is strides in partnerships with the city and Metro Health. I mentioned it a few minutes ago on the mental health piece. We know that on mental health issues, there's a common thread when you talk about some of the issues that impact our community, whether it's our veterans, whether it's the homeless, whether it's domestic violence, the common denominator often is there is some mental health issue. And so there's been a collaborative set up with the city and some county stakeholders to help address mental health issues. And the same is, you know, for the health scare that's going on now. I mean, we are at the table with our friends at JSBA Joint Base at Lackland to make sure that the community is not scared about the prospect of any type of coronavirus spreading. We've been assured that folks there are safe, removed from the community. At the same time, we want to make sure that we're partnering to have the issue addressed with our partners in D.C. as well, because this is not just a local issue. This is a global issue. So, you know, my sense is we've got the best experts we have both at Metro and at Bexar County to make assure the public that they're safe.
Okay. And now, Gethard Rodriguez, what are your thoughts about where we are with public health in San Antonio and supporting Metropolitan Health?
So I think that first off, we need to increase and strengthen our partnerships with Metro Health. We do have a good healthcare system. However, access is still a very big challenge for many members of our community. I think that as we, you know, we talk about all of the projects and money that's been poured into this, one of the things that we are still challenged with is the outcome of that. Diabetes is a very good example. Again, now, I've talked a little bit, and we've talked very, you know, very briefly about generational poverty. Poverty actually is a factor in someone's health. In going back to 78207, and I'm, you know, this election is not just about one specific zip code. This is about everyone being able to thrive and live in a community that is healthy, one where they can get an education, one that is safe. When you look at those areas, they actually have a much, like, 20-year lower life expectancy. And so we need to focus our efforts when it comes to healthcare, when it comes to resources and services in those areas that are the most disadvantaged. We have rural areas in Bexar County that still don't have access to healthcare. So when we talk about preventative health and when we talk about healthcare itself and the health of our community, we have to also not just take a look at it from the standpoint of, well, are we putting money against this problem? Are we tracking the outcomes? And what are we doing to look at the areas that need our help the most and really focusing our efforts to ensure that the access for both preventative care and then, of course, long-term care once someone is sick, that remains a big challenge for us. So it really is a mindset of being able to look at the great disadvantages that we have throughout our community.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're having a candidate forum with the two candidates running to represent Bexar County Commissioner's Court Precinct 2, the two Democrats. You heard from Gethard Rodriguez. Also, we have Justin Rodriguez, and whoever wins the race on Super Tuesday will go on to be the office holder since there is no Republican in the challenging in the general election. Another question, and the number is 210-614-8980. If you want to get in your question, we welcome it. Back to Gethard Rodriguez on this question. Last year, there was a report commissioned by the city of San Antonio looking at the status of women, and it was not good for women in the area, women in Bexar County. Terrible results. It was startling about, you know, what this revealed about San Antonio and the status of women here. Did you read the report, and what were your takeaways?
Yes. Yes. And of course, there was a lot of media attention to that report when it was first published. And I really want to thank the women on the San Antonio City Council that championed that effort and the study itself. You know, it's really no surprise that women are at such a disadvantage in Bexar County. I think that one of the keys to ensuring that we all have equitable opportunities is actually having women in leadership positions. One of Ana Sandoval's key takeaways during her interview here at TPR was how having a diverse group of people, you know, prevents that singular way of thinking. We need more women on, you know, boards and commissions. We need more women in leadership positions in government, in our corporate sector. You know, it's not a big secret that there hasn't been a woman on the Bexar County Commissioner's Court for 20 years. There's only been two in 183. So when you look at the lack of women in some of the positions that make policy, it is then no wonder that we have such a huge disparity. And it's not just women, it's, you know, people from different backgrounds. I am someone who comes from a very unique background. I come from, you know, I actually represent the everyday person here in Bexar County. Now, I have a record of service. It may be different. It's not political at all. This would be my first political position. But actually, I believe that just like when we talk about women and having that diverse, that the diversity of thought and the diversity of perspective, it makes us better. The same thing as having someone like me who represents just everyday people coming into a position where policy is made that affects the majority of our population.
And now, Justin Rodriguez, did you read the report on the status of women? And what was your takeaway? What needs to be done?
Yeah, I did read the report, and I've actually had a number of conversations from with some of the councilwomen who helped push that report, many of whom are supporting our campaign. Look, there is no question that there is an issue, a disparity issue between leadership positions for women, pay for women. I was raised by a very strong woman. My mom raised three boys. My wife and I have two daughters and one son. And every day, my work is inclusive of my daughters and thinking about, will they have the same opportunity as my son? And so, you know, I think we have a lot of work to do in that regard. Look, there are some good things from that report in that. We now have a majority women on city council. I believe 32 of the 52 elected folks at the county level, be it judges or county clerks, are women. I certainly advocate every day, not just because of my daughters, but for all families and women who need opportunity and deserve opportunity. Over 60% of the appointments I've made to boards and commissions while I've been at the commissioner's court have been women. So there are going to be challenges. We know that. And there are still people who need to change their way of thinking to make sure that women get opportunity. But there's not a day that passes that I don't pursue those opportunities. Not just for the folks that I represent, my community, but for my daughters and their peers who should be raised in an environment. They're now teenagers, but they should be raised in an environment where they are just as good, if not better, than their male counterparts, and we'll continue to advocate for that.
All right, we have a question from our email, and this is from Michelle, and this first goes to Justin Rodriguez. What is the most important function of a county commissioner? What has prepared you to take on this role? What assets do you bring to the job? And you have 2 minutes.
Okay. So I think it's arguable what's the most important. I think what's the most important is what the feedback we get from our constituents. What I've focused on for the last 12 months, because when I got there and I talked to folks, there was, I think, quite a bit of misunderstanding of what county commissioners actually do. So we spent some time knocking on doors, listening to folks, and I think explaining some of the main job functions. The county is an arm of the state. We do have responsibility for infrastructure, particularly in the unincorporated areas, but also within the city limits, we are also responsible for flooding and drainage. We've seen more severe weather events over the last few decades, and that's going to continue with climate change. So flood control is a high priority. I think healthcare access is also a high priority in partnering with UHS. And then I think public safety is I would say, the other big one. We are largely responsible for the administration of justice. That means making sure that people are treated fairly from magistration all the way through the court system. So, you know, we focused not just on those big items, but I think we've also focused on making Bexar County government, opening the doors and making it more transparent and responsive. We did the first ever Precinct 2 budget survey. Unlike the city, where there's a lot of opportunity to give input from the community on the budget and how we spend your tax dollars, I learned the county didn't really have a process. So we invented one, and we went out and knocked on doors and took budget surveys to the neighborhoods. And then we also opened the first ever Precinct 2 community office so that folks don't have to come downtown and fight for parking, pay for parking. They can actually come. And we actually opened it in the one of the most disadvantaged areas of the county in 78207.
All right. And now the question to get the Rodriguez, I'll repeat it. What is the most important function of a county commissioner? What has prepared you to take on the role? What assets do you bring to the job?
Okay, so you know, obviously, I agree with the commissioner on you know the role of the government of the role of county government. We've talked about the budget, and we've talked about the judicial system, and of course the healthcare system. One of the biggest, or most important factors is managing that $1.7 billion budget and allocating those tax dollars. Now, this money is made up of taxes, property taxes that people are paying, whether you're a homeowner or whether you're a renter, because when, as you know, if you're a renter, property taxes are passed on to you. How those funds are allocated is so extremely important, and we have seen historically how the allocation of funds has been disproportionate across Bexar County. As an example, today, 90% of the capital tax dollars that are allocated for Precinct 2 are going downtown. $200 million are being spent on the San Pedro Creek project. I am all about, doing things that beautify our city, but we have some significant issues across Precinct 2. We still have flooding in many areas. If you go out to Los Angeles Heights or to Donaldson Terrace or to over by almost Park Terrace, there are lots of areas that are in severe distress that don't have basic drainage. I was actually walking a street one day last week on Clower, I think it is, and people have actually put bricks up against their wall because there's no drainage on that street. They sit downhill. And this has been going on for decades, bricks, so that they can avoid water getting into their house. Yet their property taxes continue to increase. Being a good steward of tax dollars is probably one of the most important functions. And I think the one thing that has really prepared me and what makes me someone who should be voted for county commissioner is ethics. I am someone who is ethical and that will ensure that everyday people have more influence than big dollar donors and political insiders.
All right, let's go to our phone lines, 210-614-8980. You can ask a question to the two candidates running for Bexar County Commissioner's Court Precinct 2. You heard from Getha Rodriguez. We also have Justin Rodriguez in the studio. And on the phones, we have Rob. Rob, welcome to The Source. Go right ahead with your question. It'll first go to Getha Rodriguez.
Hi, Getha and Justin. I'm a pastor on the west side of San Antonio. I've been there for 25 years, and I'm watching our population grow increasingly aged, and I'm watching the housing deteriorate, and I'm looking at the housing affordability issues in San Antonio and wondering what you would do to prioritize caring for the aging population and ensuring that they have housing that they can afford. I'll take my answer offline. Thank you.
All right. And Getha Rodriguez, 2 minutes.
That is such an important question. Housing affordability is, we obviously have an affordable housing crisis on our hands here in Precinct 2, or in Bexar County. One of the things that the Commissioner's Court in 2017 approved was the hiring of a consultant to study how the county could best help address this issue. Of course, we can partner with the city. The city's got some really good programs under one roof, and I know that the county, gives some dollars there. But we really need to take a holistic approach to this. And you're absolutely right that people who are living in some of our older neighborhoods are some of the ones that are the most vulnerable when it comes to this. You know, people are being taken advantage of. People are preying on some of our elderly in these communities. And I know because I live in one. My neighbor across the street actually has plywood on his windows, yet his property taxes keep increasing. I have some initiatives for ensuring that we are, some ideas for ensuring that, one, we protect those people from the overinflated appraisal process that is causing our property taxes to go up. While the commissioners do set the tax rate and they have not increased it, I think in the last 2 or 3 years, it doesn't really matter because property values continue to or property assessments continue to increase, which means the tax bill is higher. We need to do more, in my opinion, to lower the tax rate. And to provide incentives. We provide incentives all the time to developers and to people that want to go into some of these areas. We give them tax breaks, but guess what? That tax base and the need for that remains. And so that burden is shifted over to regular everyday homeowners. And so we definitely need to do more to protect them when it comes to property taxes. And we also need to do more to study how best the county can partner and be able to The consultant that was approved was never funded. So that would be one of my first priorities when I take office.
All right. Justin Rodriguez, support for our aging population, helping them age in place in their homes.
Yeah, great question. Thank you for calling in. First of all, there is a housing consultant that's been engaged, so that's not correct, and that study is underway. What I've also asked the county staff to do is to look at revising our incentive policy. So, you know, several years back, I guess 10 years or so ago, there was this decade of downtown housing policy or just development initiative that was incentivizing quite a bit of development in the inner city that did not include necessarily the west side. Well, we've seen the benefit of that, and certainly I think it's helped to a certain degree, but we should not be now still incentivizing development in the Pearl District, for example. And so I've asked the county staff to bring back a recommendation on revising our incentive policy to particularly incentivize affordable housing. One of the other things the county has done is the county is a pass-through for federal dollars. And what we've done is taken those federal dollars and partnered with, as an example, Habitat for Humanity. They are currently in the midst of, I think, about a 400-house development on the west side, Lenwood Heights, that is an entry-level home for somewhere around $75,000-$80,000 to help people get in out of rental properties and into housing, which we all agree provides some degree of stability. So there are some things that the county is doing. In addition, this last fiscal year, I set aside about $150,000 for a West Side Reinvestment Initiative, because as I walked the streets on the West Side, folks were fearful of what happens with the expansion of UTSA downtown campus almost encroaching on the West Side community. They were getting calls and emails and texts from these supposed buyers who wanted to pick up their properties. So we're going to use that money to make sure people have clear title to their homes, that they can get fixed that are basic parts of the home's foundation.
All right, so that's time on that question. So here's another question, and this goes to Justin Rodriguez. And so San Antonio Mayor Ron Nuremberg has talked about the city backing off of its sales tax for aquifer protection of the land for the recharge zone and using that money, diverting it to mass transit. County Judge Nelson Wolf has said that the county is open to taking over some of the aquifer protection program. Where are you on that?
Right. So we're having a discussion and nothing's been decided, but the county's talked about taking over particularly the creekways. The county and the city have a pretty extensive creekway project all over the county, often known as the Howard Peak Greenways. We haven't made a decision on that, but I will tell you, I'm in favor of looking at ways we can particularly upgrade the West Side creeks. That includes not just flood control, but ecosystem restoration. One of the things that Getha mentioned a minute ago was, that there is a significant amount of dollars spent on San Pedro Creek, much like there was on the Mission Reach. What was not mentioned is that we're getting reimbursed for quite a bit of that dollars from the federal government, and I think we can do the same with West Side Creeks. And so if there's a way, obviously aquifer protection is the highest priority for our community. If we don't have clean and secure water source, not just for drinking, but it also means quite a bit to our economic development when folks look to relocate businesses here, when people look for great quality of life. So that's a high priority. And I think unless we can get to a point where between the county and SAWS, there's some assurance to the community that is going to be protected, not just for us now, but for the next generation, then I think it's going to be hard to support any type of long-term plan without that protection.
Getha Rodriguez, how are you? Where are you on this swap of responsibilities? The mayor of San Antonio wants the city to back off sales tax for aquifer protection, use that for mass transit. County Judge Nelson Wolf says the county is willing to talk about that. What would you add to that conversation?
I think one of the largest concerns right now for, and I think the majority of people out there, is that we really haven't seen any details on how this would happen. I think for the majority of people in Bexar County are adamant that we protect our aquifer, and I'm one of those. I am not a proponent of shifting that sales tax at this point because I have not seen the details. And, you know, again, this kind of goes back to that community voice and that education of our community. The voters voted on that. Voters voted to allocate that money to the Aquifer Protection Program. And I think that everybody understands that we need to protect these our water. To the point about the San Pedro Creek project, yes, we did get some of that money back. And yes, now we're looking at, if we take that money away, where's the money for the Westside Creeks going to come from? Again, it's a matter of priorities. You know, if we look at how we take all of the money that's available to us, we don't have unlimited resources. We don't have unlimited pots of money. It's a matter of prioritizing what is most important to us. We know that we need a better transportation system. It's decades overdue. And a lot of it, you know, unfortunately, was due to a lack of planning on our growth, not planning for infrastructure to accommodate that growth. And so now we're trying to fix decades old problems. Unfortunately, we're using some of the decades old techniques to address those same problems, not prioritizing what our most important issues are. So I am not for moving any of that money until we know we are very clear. We've talked about some of that responsibility moving over to SAWS. They've already said that they cannot fund at the same level that the Aquifer Protection Program has right now. So lots of questions that still need to be answered. And I think that as the public really needs to demand that before they're asked to decide anything. And the voters should decide.
All right. And you're listening to Texas Public Radio, The Source. And we have the two candidates for Bexar County Commissioner's Court with us. Ketha Rodriguez, you just heard from her, and Justin Rodriguez. They are the Democrats running to have the seat on the Commissioner's Court Precinct 2. Let's go back to the phones, 210-614-8980 with Billy Bob. And Billy Bob, you're on the air. And your question will first be answered by Ketha Rodriguez.
Hi, my name is Billy Bob. I own a retail business in San Antonio, and I'm curious about what the candidates are going to do through their appointee to the Coliseum Authority Board to try to get the area of town where the AT&T Center is and the Coliseum is to be more inviting for business and also to invest in affordable housing to also, at the end of the day, make it more inviting for retail businesses like mine.
All right, Billy Bob, thank you for that question. So this is not in Precinct 2, but as a commissioner, you represent the entirety and you want to see the benefits for the entire county. And so I'll get to Rodriguez to that question.
So that's the appointment of members of the community to all of these boards and commissions, obviously, is a very important part of our role as a county commissioner. Help for small business is actually one of the fundamental issues of my campaign. You know, we have a lot of small business owners that are being left behind. A lot of that is not something that can be controlled necessarily by county government, but a lot of it is. I think that we have, unfortunately, a situation here in Bexar County where a lot of the political appointees are appointees who have political connections, and a lot of them have a lot of money to donate to the campaigns. I think we need term limits on boards and commissions, because the whole point of having a board and commission that's made up of community members is to allow a diverse group of community members to sit on these boards. So I think, one, we need to increase opportunities for our small business owners to compete for projects that are in that area, and really areas across Bexar County. Unfortunately, we have a very small percentage of our tax dollars that are being allocated to projects are going to our small business community, and that's one of my highest priorities. The other is investing in those areas in ways that bring economic development, but development that is responsible. We don't want people just come in unfiltered, with no regulation, no parameters in place to, one, preserve like the cultures of these neighborhoods, and also to increase opportunity for local small business owners. Right now, I think it's only 12% percent of our tax dollars that go to small business are for small local minority and women-owned firms. We need to increase that number, and it's more than just, you know, creating another study, because we've done that before.
All right, now Justin Rodriguez, your answer.
Yes, so I think the question was related to the community arenas board, if I'm not mistaken, on
correct.
The east side. So there is a board that oversees, that is a county board, appointed board, that oversees the operational function of the arena and the Coliseum next door. They don't have any rulemaking authority, and so I think the question was related to retail and economic development around the AT&T Center. And I think what we'd have to do, obviously, is partner with the city, because that is a city in the city limits. But we'd have to partner with the city, and I think there are some discussions with Commissioner Calvert, that's his precinct, on what we can do to help incentivize redevelopment around the arena. Obviously, some of that has to do with buying properties around there's a golf course there, which is in a floodplain. Is there a way we can make that so it's no longer in the floodplain through flood control projects? I think that the county can do a number of things to help incentivize that. I mean, I think we've done in certain parts of the county, public infrastructure districts, PIDs. We've partnered with the city on the Houston Street TERS redevelopment area. So I think there are ways that we can incentivize development. I will say this, I mean, in terms of small business, the county has supported small business not just through money and incentives, but also through action. And in fact, this budget cycle, I put $100,000 into Lyft Fund, which is an incubator. We know access to capital sometimes is a huge barrier. That's going to help some of our inner city redevelopment with small businesses, not just attracting companies from outside of the state, but instead investing in companies that are here so they can expand their workforce.
All right. And this is our last question from our callers, and it goes to Justin Rodriguez, and it's from Brenda. Brenda, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
So I just wanted to remind you that their county employees are voters too. And the last several years, after getting our minimum wage adjusted to $15, the last several years we have only gotten like a 2 or 3% cost of living increase. At the same time, the commissioners have voted themselves a 10% raises. So I'd like to know how you could respond to that and how your priority is in paying their county employees.
All right, Justin Rodriguez.
Yeah, great, Brenda. Thank you for the question. And I don't know if you're a Bexar County employee, but if you are, thank you for your service. We have some great employees there at the county. What I would say is this. I mean, I can speak for the last year. You're right, though, previous to this year, the county was one of the first local entities to go to the $15 minimum wage, which is something that I think other folks are still struggling with. And you're right, we need to prioritize our employees, because they do give up what they could be making in the private sector to come work for the county. I will tell you that you're right, I think it was about a 2% cost of living adjustment this budget cycle. We're going to fight for more in the next budget cycle. I'll also point out that I was one of the few elected officials that did not take that cost of living increase. I'm a firm believer, having just been there, you know, less than a year, that I need to go back to the voters for an evaluation before I even consider taking any kind of raise. And I would certainly think twice about taking anything more than what the county employees got overall in the future. Our most precious resource at the county is our employees, and I'm certainly committed to making sure when we go through the next budget cycle, I am a numbers person. I oversaw a $200 billion budget at the state when I was on appropriations. This one's significantly less, but it's a matter of prioritizing, and budgets are moral documents, and we need to put our employees first.
All right. Now, Gethard Rodriguez, what would you do to take care of the employees for Bexar County?
Thank you, Brenda, for that question. I'll remind you that I was a Bexar County employee too, and I was around when the minimum wage, or when the wage was increased to $15 an hour as a minimum. Of course, I completely support that. I support a livable wage across the county. I will tell you that, you know, I served in the Marines for 20 years. As a Marine, we take care of our people. And when I say our people, I mean not just county employees, but all residents of Bexar County. You know, I think that it's good that we did that. However, if you'll recall, we also increased premiums on healthcare. So there was some offset, even though employees received a raise, we were paying more for our healthcare. So that's one issue. But the other really, I think, more fundamental issue is, yes, we want to take care of our employees. We want to take care of all residents of Bexar County. And I will never, ever take a raise until the wages and the salaries in Bexar County increase. They have been stagnant for a very long time. This contributes to our economic segregation. This contributes to many of the inequality that we have. I think it's fundamentally a moral issue and an ethical issue. Back several years ago, when the commissioners did give themselves a raise, it was at a time and it remains today that, you know, that people were paying more. Cost of living is rising here across the city. Housing is getting more expensive. And yet wages across Bexar County are not increasing commensurate with that. So I will never, ever take a raise, not just as it relates to Bexar County employees, but as it relates to the residents of Bexar County. Because as Marines, we've learned to just do the right thing. And that is doing the right thing.
All right, now we have time for our closing comments. Each candidate will receive 1 minute, and due to our coin flip, Getha Rodriguez, you kick off, and you have 1 minute to explain to Bexar County why they should vote for you for Precinct 2.
Thank you so much again to everyone who's listening. As you've heard, you know, I am not a career politician. I am a career servant, and to me, this election, I mean, we've had multiple groups, we've had lots of forums, and, you know, the Express News editorial board did not endorse me, but they did say that I would make a solid county commissioner. I've received favorable recommendations from multiple groups and entities across Bexar County. I think that it's pretty clear that I, along with many of you, actually, are competent and capable enough to be a county commissioner. I think what we really need to think about is what type of person you want to be your county commissioner. I bring integrity to this role. I bring ethics. I will never take campaign contributions from businesses that do, or companies that do business with the county. In my mind, that is, we have an ethics problem at the county, and we need to ensure that we put someone there who really understands the needs of everyday people. I'm a single mother. I raised 4 kids and obtained my degree while I was on active duty. So I ask you to consider the type of leader that you want serving you. Thank you.
All right, Getha Rodriguez. And now, Justin Rodriguez, you have 1 minute for your closing remarks.
Well, great. Thank you, David. And thank you, Getha, for the lively discussion. And, you know, this is what democracy is about. Constituents have choices, and I'm certainly excited about that. You know, I've been on the ballot. Now this will be my 12th time. And I embrace that because it's an opportunity for our constituents to give us feedback on how we're doing. Look, I'm a son of San Antonio. I'm a son of a West Side. Proudly served in the capacities I mentioned as a school board member, as in the state legislature, and all throughout my career, what I've tried to do is just do the right thing by my constituents. And I think we've done that over the years. I think that we are bringing new ideas, a fresh perspective, a new vision to Bexar County. And I would certainly ask my constituents. I have a lot of confidence in them. I hope they have confidence in me. I believe they do. And I think we have a proven track record of getting things done and moving in the right direction. And I'd ask for their continued support.
All right. Justin Rodriguez, he is a candidate for Precinct 2, Bexar County Commissioners, and also Getha Rodriguez. Two are Democrats. They will be on your ballot when you go vote. The first day for early voting is coming up. It's on February 18th, and it lasts until the 28th. Super Tuesday is on March the 3rd. There is no Republican candidate in the race, so the winner of this primary will become the office holder. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.